He has power to protect you as you go about your daily work. And I'm going to let you know something today. I am not ashamed. To worship my God.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. Again, we're grateful to God. I'm trying to preach through this baritone voice this morning. Beginning at verse number 1, it reads in the third chapter of Titus. It said, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God, our Father, we thank You now for everything that has gone on thus far. We ask now that You just allow Your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. Grant us a fresh anointing of Your Spirit, and in that anointing grant us preaching power. And we'll be careful to give You all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank You. Amen. I want to talk this morning with your prayer about the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel. I want to explore Titus so that we can pull out what's in the message of the gospel. It is the gospel that had it not been for the gospel, we wouldn't be saved. The gospel, if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, it wouldn't be no good news. Amen. And so let me begin by saying that we are inundated with messages from time we wake up in the morning until the time we go to bed at night. TV sends out messages about what we should drive or what we should eat and what we should wear. We have commercials use messages from lizards to get us to buy car insurance. Messages from Chihuahua dogs to get us to eat, buy tacos. And message from a bear to get us to buy fabric softener. And then the government sent out messages to get us to accept their plans and goals for America. The church sends out messages to try and reach folk with the word of God. But my brothers and sisters, the passage before us is about a very important message that has been going out into the world for over 2,000 years. because this is about the message of the gospel. My brothers and sisters, the message of the gospel is the most important message the world has ever heard, meaning it's far more important than anything the Geico or Gecko lizard has to say. It far exceeds anything the government have to say. But now, if you hear and accept the message of the Taco Bell, Chihuahua, Snuggle Bear, it won't affect your life at all. In other words, you can reject it or accept the advertisement of Taco Bell or Snuggle Bear. Nothing, it won't affect your life in no kind of way. But if you hear the message of the gospel and accept it, your life will change forever. But if the message of the gospel is rejected, the person who rejects it will spend eternity in hell. But if the message of the gospel is received, the person who receives and believes the gospel will experience forgiveness of sin and will receive everlasting life. And so with your prayer this morning, I want to take a little time to consider the message of the gospel that is revealed here in our text, because this passage points out some very important elements of the gospel message that we need to hear. And so as we consider the text and we look at the message of the gospel, we note first of all that it is a message of love, because the first thing we see in verse number 3 is the extent of this love. My brothers and sisters, here we have in clear and vivid language, as Paul reminds us of what we were, amen, before those of us who are saved met the Lord. And notice he says in verse number 3 that we once were foolish. In other words, we were ignorant of everything to do with God. We were disobedient, rebellious toward any authority instituted by God. We were deceived, continually led deeper and deeper into by sin and Satan, serving divers lust and pleasures, meaning we were slaves to our fleshly appetites and passions. We were living in malice, in other words, given over to a lifestyle of evil. We were envious, never satisfied with what we have, but always grasping for more. Hateful, and this is a natural fruit of all of the above. This kind of life makes us mean-spirited and hard to get along with. Paul goes on to say that we were hating one another. In other words, walking without love for our fellow man. My brothers and sisters, this is what we were and what some of us still are, because the Bible reminds us repeatedly that we are fallen, run, spiritually bankrupt people, according to Ephesians 2 and 1 through 3 and 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Meaning in our natural condition, we are worthy of nothing but judgment, wrath and condemnation. But even in our fallen condition, God still loves us. For the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but shall have everlasting life. But now he could have left us in our sins and allowed us to go to hell, but he loved us in spite of our condition, so that we would have a way of deliverance through his son. But next we see the evidence of his love. Note here in verse 4, Paul used the transitional conjunction but to turn the emphasis from remembering our former condition of lostness to the equally important need to remember our present condition of salvation and to give the evidence of God's love to fallen man. We note the Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, God gave evidence of his love for fallen man by sending his son into the world to die for all of us. Bottom line, if you need evidence that God loved you, look no further than Calvary. You don't need a feeling, just a look to the cross. Look to Jesus and see him as he died for you and me on that cross. That's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 when he said, for he, talking about God, made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. My brothers and sisters, he loves you and me, and that's the reason for the awful death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The cross actually says, I love you. Are you with me? And so first we must understand that every aspect of salvation is from God and God alone. Meaning we should remember that we who are saved were saved by the kindness of God, our Savior. And second, we should remember that we were saved by God's uninfluenced and unearned love for mankind. Bottom line, in spite of our fallen condition, God our Savior showed us how good and kind he is. But now from our perspective, there's no explaining of this kind of love, because one may wonder, why does God love lost sinners like he does? Why does he save us from our sins? Why should a holy God set his love on a sinner like us? Why would he give his son in our place? Why would he save us, cleanse us, and adopt us into his family? Why would he do something of this nature? Well, my brothers and sisters, verse 5 gives us the explanation of his love, because here we see that he does not save us because we deserve it. He doesn't save us because he sees something good in lost sinners. He doesn't save us because he knows that what great servants that we'll become. But the reason God saves sinners is found in the word mercy. Note verse 5 says that, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Because the word mercy speaks of kindness, a goodwill toward the miserable and afflicted, and joined with the desire to relieve them. Because justice gives us what we deserve. If we receive justice, we'll spend eternity, yes, Lord, in hell. But thank God he works in our lives according to grace and mercy. In other words, he doesn't give us what we deserve, but by his grace and mercy, he gives us what we need, and that is deliverance from the penalty of sin and eternal life. And so we may not understand it, but God saves us not because we earn it, deserve it, or seek it, but he saves us because he wants to. He does it because it brings glory to his name, meaning it's not us or our works that produce salvation. It is the grace of God. And that's what Paul was talking about in Ephesians 2:8-9. He said, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so what is the message of the gospel? The message of the gospel is God loves you. Christ died for you, and God will save you by his grace. It is a message of love. And secondly, we see that it is also a message of life, because love is only part of the message of the gospel. My brothers and sisters, the message of the gospel is also a message of life. Now, I've already told you how Christ died for our sin, but on the other side of the gospel, it concerns how Jesus rose up from the grave. Note Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, he said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture. My brothers and sisters, the message of the gospel is a message of life, because when a lost sinner believes the gospel, the life of Christ is shared with them. Note Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. In other words, every person who comes to Jesus for salvation is given eternal life, according to John 10:28, and they are given eternal life that begins at the very moment of their salvation. Meaning if you're saved, you already have eternal life right now. Notice, if you will, that verse 5 of text tells us how how we were cleansed and how we are changed. Notice he said that God saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Simply put, God washed us by the power of his Holy Spirit, and he gave us the new birth and a fresh beginning. Because the word renewing means renovation, to completely change for the better. In other words, when God saves us by his grace, the Spirit of God comes to live in our hearts. In other words, he enters a building, talking about our old body, a life that has formerly been condemned to destruction.